Who reads the newsletter? Who contributes to the newsletter? Most of it. Okay, so now, for you who do not read the newsletter, here's a question that was posted in the newsletter that was never answered. What happened to Lot's flea? Even the person who put it in can't remember. What happened to Lot's flea? Bring me the newsletter. It's the best joke I've heard in ages. It says, my niece Emily told the Sunday school class about how God told Lot to take his wife and flee to Egypt. So one of the kids asked the teacher, after she asked what's the lesson, and the kids asked, so what happened to Lot's flea? Please read the newsletter, it's worth it. And contribute. Fine. You can't put all the work on some people. Let's stand and just open in prayer and then sing our first song. Lord, we come to you this morning and we just want to praise you on this holy ground, because you are our God and we are here to worship you as a group, as community, as family. So Lord, as we go into this service this morning, I pray that you will be blessed as we try to bless you, and that you may bless us as well. Amen. Stand. This is holy ground.
This is holy ground. We're standing on holy ground. For the Lord is present, and where he is holy. This is holy ground. We're standing on holy ground. And where he is holy. We are standing on holy ground, and I know that there are angels all around. Let us pray. Now we are standing in his presence on holy ground.
Jesus, King of Kings.
Jesus, King of Kings, we worship and adore you. Jesus, Lord of heaven and earth, we bow down at your feet. Father, we bring to you our worship. Your sovereign will be done. On earth your kingdom come. Through Jesus Christ your only Son.
Seated. Before we read Psalm 51, is there anybody who'd like to share something? So we will be reading. Are you sure there's nobody want to share something? The best opportunity is now. It's always now. It's like planting a tree. When is the best time to plant a tree? 20 years ago, the second best time is now. See, I told you.
Good morning, everyone. I've just got a scripture verses to encourage you that blessed me this week. And I want to say thank you to the Lord for answering some. He answers our prayers. But specifically the one we've been praying for 2 years for the certain young lady. About 2 years I've been praying with her mom. And yesterday we were at her wedding. We were praying that she would get married and meet the right person. So that was wonderful. And then there's another situation that we've been praying for and family situation, but thank God for every step that He is opening and the way He's working, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Sometimes we become anxious, sometimes we try to figure things out, but we have to trust in God. Let His Spirit work. So I'm going to just read a scripture verse that blessed me. Let him who boasts, boast about this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. So we must boast in him, in his love, in his peace, in his kindness. We must boast that we know him, that we experience him, that we have a relationship with him. You know, early on it says, let not the wise man boast of his wisdom, or the strong man boast of his strength, or the rich man boast of his riches. Rather boast that you know God, that you understand him, that you have a relationship with him. That's the Old Testament, that's Jeremiah. And Paul says here in Galatians chapter 6, there was this whole argument about circumcision. And the people were trying to make the believers being circumcised. And I'm going to read from verse 12. Those who want to make a good impression outwardly are trying to compel you to be circumcised. The only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. Not even these who are circumcised obey the law, yet they want you to be circumcised that they may boast about your flesh. Now this is the main verse. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. We boast in what Jesus has done for us on the cross. We boast in what that cross means for us, salvation. It means a new relationship. It means being a new creature in Christ. It means being reconciled to God. Let our boasting. And also further on, you know, it goes, because of the cross, we die to the world. We die to the system of the world. We die to the thinking of the world. Our thinking is now heavenly. Our thinking is now the way Jesus thinks, the way he wants us to think. And you're that really blessed me, mate. Bless your heart as well, that it's what Christ has done for us. That's the most important thing. Amen.
Hi, good morning. To reach the milestone of 80, all I can say, gratitude to the Lord that the family is still together, and for health and for bringing us so far without any major mishaps. So we had a lovely celebration, the whole family together. Our daughter from England had booked a lovely house on the hills above Simonstown with a beautiful view of the bay and the harbour. And of course, that side of the False Bay, you could swim in the water, actually, so the grandchildren had a great time. I actually got in the water as well and swam a bit. So just gratitude that we could celebrate and that we could get this milestone so far, and you know, all praise to the Lord.
For doing communion today and sacrifice for sin, but we had our sacrifice. So let us stand and sing this song, Thank You for the Cross.
Thank You for the cross, Lord. Thank You for the price You paid, bearing all my sin and shame. In love You came and gave amazing grace. Thank You for this love, Lord. Thank You for the nail-pierced hands. Wash me in Your cleansing flow. Now all I know, Your forgiveness and embrace. Worthy is the Lamb seated on the throne. The crown You now with many crowns, You reign. Victorious, high and lifted up, Jesus, Son of God, the darling of heaven, crucified. Worthy is the Lamb.
Lord, we are grateful for the one-time sacrifice that You made for our sins. And You said those who call upon Your name will be saved. So Lord, we thank You for the cross. We thank You for the resurrection. Mm. And we thank You that we can relive that every time we take communion. So let us be joyful and give thanks to the Lord and take up collection.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for His love will never end. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for His love it never will end. Sing to Him, sing Your praise to Him, till the world only has done. Fill the nations with celebration to welcome Him as He comes.
Cross. You can ask me, what about the cross? I only got one answer for you, it's everything. Let us pray. Lord, thank You that You have final authority over every battle that we face. No storm can continue when you tell it to still. Come and speak your peace into our situation and help us to move forward in faith. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. Firstly, we started a new Bible study group in Rubik's Kloof at Susan and Mariki's place. So if anybody, I know none of you live out there, but if you know of anybody out there that may want to or need a Bible study group, we're out that side. The other thing is on the newsletter, who's seen the newsletter? It seems like we're punting it, but who's seen the newsletter? No, only 3-4 people. Okay, guys, it goes out via email, and I've seen some outside at the door, or just sort of in the lobby there. It's a really great newsletter. Seems all colorful, and I did happen to write a letter to you in the newsletter, so I'd like you to look at that as well. But if you look on page 7, there's a section where it speaks about or mentions all the opportunities for volunteering or being available to the congregation to give some kind of service. So there's a list of things. The one thing I do know we definitely need help with, we need help in different areas. But one of the things are the overhead. You know, Fraser and Dawn have gone, and one of the things have gone to England or to the UK, and one of the things that Fraser was doing is the overhead. And so at the moment, we only have Andrew doing that. We really need assistance with that. So I'd really like you to see how you can be of assistance. Rebecca, thank you for the newsletter. Susan has been busy with the website, and it's almost done, and we're taking some photos. So if you see Clement taking snaps, one thing I want to reassure you, of the photos being taken, no photo will be published without your permission. So if you're on the photo, we'll actually contact you and say, would you, is it okay? And if you want to see the photo, you can see it. And so we're not going to put anything on social media without your express permission or on the website. On the 8th of December, we're having a braai, and it's so important. You know, it's one of the few opportunities we have of all coming together. And it really is an opportunity to come together just to spend some time. You know, obviously we can ask one another, how are you doing? And you know what response you're going to get? Fine, okay, generally. There's no real time to talk. And so if you want to get to know one another, please, or get to know someone else and want to be known, want to be part, or just want to explore that possibility, please come to the braai at Lurafir. And don't worry if you don't have something to bring. It's a bring and braai, okay? So what happens is, if you can just contact me and say, look, I'd like to come, but I'm not able to bring this or do that, and that's fine. We make allowance for that, so just contact me or Moira, or just even pitch up. We generally have enough. And normally what happens, we make a salad and share the salad, so things get shared. Father, we pray as we read your word that you would minister to us, that you would open our hearts, our understanding, that we would hear your voice, your instruction to us. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 12 from verse 1 to 31. Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. Verse 12. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, And we were all given the one spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while the presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. And in the church, God has appointed first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, also those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But eagerly desire the greater gifts. If you've been following it on the overhead, and I trust you've heard it, if you look at it, you'd see that chapter 12 is divided into two main parts. And it speaks to two great themes. It speaks to spiritual gifts in verses 1 to 11. And from verse 12 onward, it speaks of the body of Christ. Especially when you read it, you can be tempted, you know, because we catch the text with our eyes and we scan it first as we start to read, and you can be tempted to skip out. Welcome, come inside, Colleen. You can be tempted to skip out on those first three verses. But those first three verses are very critical. They're very important. So let's just look at those first three verses again. Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus is be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Those three verses are very important to get the biblical perspective of what chapter 12 is all about. Firstly, we see that Paul is addressing believers. So the whole aspect of spiritual gifts and the body is for believers. All right? Is specifically addressing followers of Christ. And Paul doesn't want them to be ignorant about spiritual matters. And so he contrasts how they were previously led astray to mute idols and by mute idols. And he says, somehow or other, you were led astray by these mute idols. You see, these gods with a small g were quiet. No revelation ever came from them. No instruction. But somehow they led people astray. And one of the main things that Paul wants to do, and you'll see how he emphasizes it, is that he wants to make sure that the believers understand what genuine spiritual activity is. Because there's lots of spiritual activity. There was lots of spiritual activity in Corinth at the time. And today in our world, in our society, there's lots of spiritual activity around us. And not just happening in the church. And when you put on the TV, you see all kinds of spiritual activity. And if you go out into the communities, you'll see it as well. But Paul is at pains for us to understand what genuine spiritual activity is. And so he says, firstly, if there's any spiritual activity and it says somehow it's communicated that Jesus is not Lord or Jesus is cursed or is anything that denigrates or speaks down or not highly of Christ is not of God, is not of the Holy Spirit. All speech, in fact, he says, well, by the Holy Spirit always affirms the lordship of Christ. So any attitude, any teaching that denies or curses Jesus is not from God. Okay, so that's the basic thing that we need to get. So if you come across any spiritual activity outside of church or inside church or anywhere, and it doesn't affirm the lordship and the principles of Christ, it's not of God. End of story. It doesn't matter if somebody levitates, if you see things appearing and disappearing. It doesn't matter what happens. If it doesn't affirm the lordship of God, of Jesus Christ, it's not by the Holy Spirit. And then Paul is at pains to point out the diversity of spiritual gifts given to believers, and also emphasizes that it's all by the same Spirit. He says, different gifts, same Spirit. Different services or ministries, same Spirit. Different working. In other words, those ministries, those gifts could work in different ways. Same God. And he says, to everyone, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given. And the purpose for this is for the common good, for the good of everyone. He also points out that this variety of gifts is intentional. He says that the Holy Spirit equips each one of us uniquely according to God's plan and purpose. God's plan for our lives, our individual lives, and also God's plan for the congregation or the fellowship. And so Paul lists 9 spiritual gifts in this passage. I also want to point out that this list is not exhaustive. It's not the end of all spiritual gifts. It's not that there are only 9 spiritual gifts, but he mentions 9 spiritual gifts. It's the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, healing, miraculous powers, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, the gift of tongues, or speaking in different kinds of tongues, and interpretation of tongues. And so what we're going to do is looking at how we can recognize our gifts. Remember, Paul is at pains to emphasize that everyone, every believer, has a spiritual gift. And so we need to know what those spiritual gifts are. And there's a couple of reasons for that. But we need to recognize our gifts. And we need to see how they can contribute and will contribute to the growing or the development of the church. And when I say growing of the church, I'm not just talking about numbers, but the spiritual depth of a congregation, of a group of believers, the growth of the church. And so I would ask you to take time to consider, to reflect on the, to notice the unique ways that God has gifted you. Think about that. Ask yourself, where do I see God's hand at work in my life? Where do I see it? In what part of my life? And where have others seen it? Again, I've already spoken about the source of our gifts, though they're all different, all come from the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit. And maybe I suppose we can think of a garden with many different flowers. Each flower is unique. But each of those flowers are in the same soil. They get the same sun. They are nourished by the same water. And similarly, our gifts originate from the Holy Spirit, the one Spirit. And the Holy Spirit binds us all in unity. But we display different colors. The flowers are not all the same. And we are not all the same. We are different. But those gifts, like the flowers, really make the place beautiful. So, some practical steps to recognize your gifts. Prayer and reflection. Ask God. That's the first thing. Just simply ask Him, Lord, what is the gifts you have given me? Think about it. Spend time in reflection. Consider the times you felt particularly alive or energized in serving others, or when others have affirmed your strengths. So there's prayer and reflection, and then seek the input from others. People who know you, people you relate to. It's sometimes easier for others to recognize your spiritual gifts than for you to identify them. And then serve. Bring your gifts, use them, serve, and experiment. I believe that it is in service and experimenting with our gifts that we get to know what gifts we have, and it's affirmed, but also to grow in those gifts. And sometimes it's in stepping out that we discover the gifts that God has placed in us. So I want you to be open to discover unexplored or unexpected strengths that you have. And I believe that will come about when you serve, when you start. I mean, just think about an athlete. He could be sitting on, maybe let's think of a top athlete. Somebody that performs in the Olympics. He could. Here we go, Usain Bolt. That's a good athlete that we're familiar with. He could be sitting here in this pew with us, and he would look the same like everybody else. He would just look like a person sitting down. But those muscles, when put into action, when he starts running, you'll very soon notice the difference between him and me. Well, you'll notice the difference way before anyway. But it's in our service, in our actual performing of doing things, that we come to understand and experience how God has blessed us and with which spiritual gifts. And so whether you are feeling confident about your spiritual gifts or whether you're still busy discovering them, trust that God has equipped you with something valuable for His kingdom, because that is what He says. That is the promise that we have. And I want to point out that your gift matters. Your gift matters. In the same way that every one of you matter. You know, you may think, well, it doesn't really matter if I come to church or if I'm there. It matters. It really does. I think once you've begun to recognize your gifts or gift, it's essential to understand the purpose behind that gift. What is it for? Why do I have it? How do they serve the greater good? If it's for the common good, how does it work in the community? How does it work in my family, in my neighborhood? Again, Paul clarifies what these gifts are for. He says they're for the common good. So it's designed not just to benefit ourselves, but the whole body of Christ. So the gifts are for the common good. We will also see that these gifts promote unity. Again, Paul emphasizes, you know, if you read the text, well, you've heard it, you've read it. He repeats himself a lot, doesn't he? Same Spirit, same God. One Spirit, even when he speaks about the body. He says it several times. So he emphasizes the diversity of gifts yet from the same Spirit. The gifts vary, their source and their purpose never does. The source is always the Holy Spirit, and the purpose is always to unify, always to develop, to grow, to edify. And so it shows that God's purpose for the body is a cohesive body, even though it's diverse. I mean, think of a symphony. When a piece of music is being played, each musician plays a different instrument, but they all follow the same conductor, and they're all following the same sheet of music. And together they produce something wonderful, something good to hear. And so our gifts work best when we see them as part of a united purpose directed by God. Again, he is at pains to know that to make us understand that the same Spirit works out all these things, referring to the gifts, emphasizing that it's God that empowers, the Holy Spirit that empowers each gift. That these abilities that we have are not based on our human skill alone. Let's look at the different parts of the body. So the first section, verses 1 to 11, he speaks of the spiritual gifts. Then he goes on to the body, because he wants us to understand how these gifts relate also to the body and the nature of the church, the nature of the body of Christ. Again, we've already seen it's about unity, it's about growing, it's about spiritual growth, unity for the body, one purpose. And now he talks about the body and that every part of the body has a purpose. He goes on to say how the body has many parts. Each part has a unique function. Okay, can we stand for a moment? It's amazing how obedient you are. Just turn around, because maybe you don't get it. Thank you for standing. No, turn around to look at one another. Not just turn around, turn. Look at one and actually look at one another in the face. Pardon? Except the back row. Sorry, you at the back, don't. Thanks. I want you to actually look at one another. None of you are the same. You're all different. Can you see that? Okay, I'm glad you're hugging, but just look at one. I want you to really see. The bodies don't look the same. The hair doesn't look the same. Faces don't. Your wrinkles are all different. Some of you are thin. Others are not. Some are tall. Others not. You're all different. But all members of the same body. Okay, you can sit down. Now your attention is on me again. But you're all different. Young and old. But you're all members of the same body. And this is critical. This spiritual truth is important to understand. That you are members of the same body. And that you all have a different purpose, a different function. And so don't try to be like somebody else. Because that's not your purpose. You're going to miss it. Even if you could imitate someone else or do exactly what they... Don't! Do what you do. God has made you perfectly for the purpose that He intends for your life. And for His unified purpose with all of us together. So don't worry about not having certain spiritual abilities that you perceive in others or that you think others have and you don't. The Spirit of God has given you what you need and what He wants you to exercise. And that's very important for all of us to understand, not only for ourselves, but also to give others the space to exercise their gifts. So if you don't understand something, don't just shoot it down. Don't criticize it. Try and understand. Try and understand that God has gifted that person that you may be critical of with that unique ability and that unique gift to build that person and the people they come into contact with and who they can influence. And for those of you who think that you may not be so important, that you can skip out, that you don't have to attend. Why are you smiling? I want you to think of a jigsaw puzzle. Each piece, regardless of the shape or color, is essential for completing the picture. So if one piece, a single piece is missing, it disrupts the whole. Similarly, each believer's gift contributes to the fullness of the church. So if you're not here, there's a piece missing. And have you ever seen a jigsaw puzzle with one piece missing? There's just something wrong about that. There's something wrong about that. And especially, it's one thing if there's the jigsaw puzzle and there's the missing piece. One single piece. Because you just got to take that piece and put it in. The problem comes up when you don't see that missing piece. And my understanding is when I look at this body, I see some missing pieces. Now, this is not to guilt you into coming to church, because I've already explained to you, and I want you to again hear it, that it's not about just coming to church to be here for 1 hour a week. It's about your life in the body, your contribution. Maybe I can just plug the braai at this point. Important. 8th of December. Because you see, what Paul is doing is he wants us to understand that it's interdependence, it's about interdependence, not independence. He says, no part of the body can say to another, I don't need you. I'm going to leave out a lot of this because, like Paul, I also repeat myself. I see that there. I think the last part I want to bring your attention to is to, once you've identified the gifts, once you're in that process, decide to use those gifts with excellence. Don't leave it at home. And so there's two things we need to do. We need to start exercising our spiritual gifts, and we also need to make room for others to exercise their gifts. At the end of the passage, from probably verse 27, Paul speaks about, he says, now you are the body of Christ. Each one of you is part of it. That's a very important concept to understand. That we are together, we are the body of Christ, and each one of us is part of it. And so there can be no kind of inclination towards spiritual elitism. Like, I'm spiritually better than others. Or even a kind of inferiority, that I don't have what that one has. So let's put aside any feeling of superiority or inferiority. And sometimes, unfortunately, people may make you feel that way. But I also want you to understand that if people make you feel that way, it's wrong. But you don't have to stay there. Don't allow that to happen. And then Paul asks some rhetorical questions here towards the end of the passage. He asks, are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all workers of miracles? Do all speak in tongues? And he asks the question, and the obvious answer is no. We are not all apostles. We are not all prophets. We don't all work miracles. And the reason that he asks this question, again, is not for us to feel inferior to anyone else, but to understand that there are people with certain gifts, and there are also offices that go with those gifts, but that's neither here nor there. Not, don't expect or think that you have to be like everybody else, because you're not. And Paul is also emphasizing that no gift or role encompasses, includes everything of what it means to serve God or to serve the body of Christ. So we shouldn't feel inferior because we lack a particular gift. I think it's also a call to action that as we recognize ourselves as part of the body of Christ, it brings about responsibility. It makes us understand that we are responsible for one another. And to participate in the church community, using our gifts for the common good. And so I want to ask, do you abscond in some ways? Do you leave responsibility for others? Or do you initiate and take charge? In other words, whose congregation is this? This body, this church, who's responsible? Is it the minister? Is it the elders? Who should take responsibility? I think Paul is clearly indicating that all of us take responsibility. We can't leave and say that one, we may have certain duties and responsible for those duties, but we all need to take ownership of this congregation, of this fellowship. And so when we see something is amiss, we make it known. We have an opportunity to speak, we make it known, or you speak to the leaders, etc. And so I want to challenge you to go beyond just knowing your gifts. That is definitely the first step, but start using them intentionally, passionately, aiming to grow the body of Christ and make an impact for God's kingdom. God has gifted you with unique talents, and He calls you to use them with excellence. I just want to end off by saying that in using your gifts, it's an act of worship. It's how we worship. It's also a reflection of our commitment to Christ. It's a way to bless the body. And it's a way you can seek to honor God in this way by growing in your gift and using them with love and dedication. Let's bow our heads. Pray. Thank you, Father, Heavenly Father, that you have given each one of us spiritual gifts. That through the new birth, our life in Christ, you have deemed it necessary and important that each one of us has a gift. Father, would you reveal those gifts to us? Help us to exercise those gifts for the purpose that you have intended them in our lives and in the lives of the people that we influence. And so we give you glory. We ask that you would empower us through your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Friends, this is the joyful feast of the people of God. Our Savior invites all who trust in Him to share in the sacred meal. Come not because you must, but because you may. Come not because you are strong, but because you are weak. Come not because of any goodness of your own, but because of His great love. Let's confess our sins. God of mercy, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, Lord, renew us. Lead us that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, that your name may be glorified. Amen. Friends, hear the good news. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. And when you realize that we are forgiven, when we realize it, we don't have to walk with heavy hearts, with a burden of guilt. And we can have that joy, which passes human understanding because of something that God has done for each one of us. Died on a cross, shed His blood for us, made a new covenant of grace, where He says, prophesied already in the Old Testament, I will give you a new heart. I will take away that stony heart, give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit in your spirit, and you will know my ways. You will keep my commands. You will know my statutes. You will be my people, and I will be your God. That is the new covenant. That is what we are privy to. That is our privilege and our joy. On the night Jesus was betrayed, He took bread. And after giving thanks, He broke it and said, this is my body which is for you. Do it in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, He took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until He comes again. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for this holy mystery in which you have given yourself to us. We thank you for the bread, for the wine. And so, Lord, may we eat and drink in a manner which honors you as we take nourishment from you and your word. And you know, there are different ways of eating and drinking. And when we have communion. We will have it in different ways. You know, sometimes there's the way the minister would eat first and serve the elders, and then they would eat, and then the elders would serve you, and then you would eat. And that is just a picture of God's grace as well, of how he comes to a person, and then that person shares with someone else, and then that people shares with someone else. And so the word of God is spread, the grace and the mercy of God is communicated to many. And so be mindful that even as you are served, that this, the Lord we serve, I mean, he came not to be served, but to serve others. And so let us also be mindful of the calling to serve one another. You do know that as the Lord, on the day of Passover, or as the disciples came to the Lord, they asked him, Lord, where should we prepare? Where do you want to eat the Passover? And they went to make preparation for the meal. And we know that communion is actually a meal together. And so when we have one piece of bread, it's a small symbol. It's a symbol of a meal. And I would like to see at one point that we actually sit together and have a meal, sharing the bread, drinking the wine together. This is grape juice, by the way, but that we would share it with one another and not just have a ritual. Now, this is a very powerful ritual when it's understood correctly. And so I think that when we have a meal, it really comes in its own in understanding that it's not just the small piece of bread. It's as we share in the life of Christ. And that life of Christ calls us to share our lives with one another. Let us eat and drink together. Father, as we go from this table, strengthen us by your Spirit to serve you faithfully in the world. May we bear witness to the love and grace of Jesus Christ. Father, may we go forth in joy and peace, empowered by your love to serve one another, to serve our neighbors, to the glory of your name. Amen.
When peace like a river at the end of my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. It is well,
it is well
with my soul,
with my soul.
It is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, if trial should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ hath regarded my helpless estate, and I've shed his own blood for my soul. It is well,
it is well
with my soul,
with my soul.
It is well with my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. It is well,
it is well
with my soul,
with my soul.
It is well with my soul. And Lord, haste the day when our thanks shall be sign, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trumpet shall
It is well.
It is well.
With my soul.
With my soul.
It is well.
It is well.
With my soul.
To receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace.